Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Taylor Haggerty. This week, Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton is our guest. Thanks for being with us. You can call in your questions by dialing 765-496-1999, send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Hello, Mr. Mayor. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So we'll start out with a listener question. Paul wants to know, since the discontinuation of the daily train service through Crawfordsville with the Hoosier State Amtrak service, is it possible that the money already earmarked for transportation could be used to lure a company like Greyhound to offer service in Crawfordsville, or even better, municipal bus service linking Crawfordsville to Indy and Lafayette multiple times per day? And also, what is the city doing to cultivate intercity public transportation?
Okay, very good question. We're kind of right now taking stock of the situation to try to, you know, really understand what those needs are and aren't. We know there's a need. There's no doubt there, but at what level? And as far as any shift in that funding, and we're working on the budgets right now for 2020. We haven't done anything with, you know, money that was previously used, so it's not like it's been shifted to do something else at this point. But, you know, certainly everything's on the table. And part of that, you know, we really have to consider what the state is and isn't doing in this inner city piece. And quite frankly, that's kind of confusing for us right now. We're not real clear on really where they're headed with some of that. So we're kind of trying to piece it all together. And unfortunately, it's still too early to kind of take a position on that and know where we're really going to land.
How has the closure of the Hoosier State Line impacted traffic in Crawfordsville? Have you noticed any changes?
No, we've not noticed any changes. And, you know, I said all along that, you know, when the deadline came and the next day arrived and the train didn't come, that life would go on. And I still say that's the case. And, you know, we wouldn't see a real dramatic short-term impact. And I don't think we have. Where we see the impact is, I think, going to be in the long term, in trying to attract the next generation to our community. And as younger people place more and more of an emphasis on public transportation and things like that. So not a huge short-term impact, but I do think, you know, long-term, this is a negative thing.
So in terms of the long-term impact, have you or are you planning to monitor traffic or visitor numbers to the city without the line there?
Well, we're always watching those things, and it's a little difficult to figure out this piece because there's not a clear way to track, you know, in our case, who is coming and going at the train station. And for example, a lot of our ridership came from outside this community. So, you know, if they were coming here and boarding the train and now they're not, it's a little more difficult to track a negative that they're no longer coming here. So, you know, somebody goes online and clicks it and looks at their options for train travel, you know, this doesn't even pop up on a daily basis now, so that might be off the table. I'm really kind of anxious to see what happens to ridership on the Cardinal on those other days. Will we just see a shift, you know, in people really focusing more on the 3 days a week that they can board the Cardinal here? I suspect you're going to see some of those people at least shift to the Cardinal. And we're going to keep an eye on that to see, you know, if we can get access to those numbers. They don't always share those numbers with us, but we're going to keep an eye on that to see if it looks like ridership is up for the Cardinal piece. And if that's the case, we're meeting some of the demand there. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Could that information, as far as ridership of the Cardinal line, serve to bring another service, bus or otherwise, to the city to sort of cover that inner city travel?
Oh, I think so. I think it helps. You know, the more data we can gather, to make our case, the better we are. I just am not real clear, you know, from the state's perspective. I've seen models that show them basically bypassing our community and just, you know, sticking to I-65 into that corridor to connect, Indianapolis and Chicago. So we'll just have to see. Not all of our travel is, you know, out of this community is to Indianapolis or Chicago. You have other destinations as well. So I'm not really as up to speed on the bus, the dynamics of bus travel and, you know, what they're looking for. And that's something we're going to explore. we're basically on the heels of this happening, and we're trying to kind of figure out where we go from here.
I wanted to touch on another transportation conversation that's in the public eye this week. That's the county's thoroughfare plan, which outlines a vision for county roads and infrastructure. Has the county been communicating with the city and coming up with those guidelines and what it would like to see?
Oh, yes. I mean, we've had that discussion for quite a while now, and they certainly came in and met with us as part of their process before they pushed out, you know, their vision or their plan to see how, you know, what they were thinking about would fit with what we were thinking about and how we could kind of cooperate and make sure those things fit together and flow together. So we had those conversations early on, because there's a lot of that area that is basically on the periphery of the city that, you know, you need to tie it together. So, we've been involved in it, as far as the final product and the community input they're receiving. We'll just have to give that some time and see where it goes. But I think the important thing to keep in mind with a thoroughfare plan is it's not a hard and fast document. It lays out, you know, options and scenarios largely dependent upon funding down the road. So, you know, you can put out a thoroughfare plan that shows all of these things, and this is kind of our wish list, and, you know, if we get the money, we would like to do these things and do those things. It by no means indicates that all those things are going to happen, and they're the first to tell you that. I've been to one of their meetings, and they explain that, you know, we're going to put, for example, this roadway in there. There is no funding for that, but if we see that develop and we find the funding, then this is something that's on our list that we would work on. And it gives you the ability when funding sources become available and, you know, those pop up from time to time to say, hey, this is in our plan. We can pull this out. It's somewhat shelf ready. We can plug this in and let's apply for this. So I think that's what they're trying to accomplish, just making sure they have, no pun intended, but some kind of roadmap to lay out future potential projects.
Yeah, you mentioned a wish list of sort of what the county would like to see happen. And in speaking with Commissioner John Fry, he told us that they've gotten some feedback from shareholders and residents about some of the things for that wish list. One of those priorities is moving truck routes out of Crawfordsville downtown. Is that a problem that you've seen in the past and would like to address?
That's been an ongoing discussion in our community. I've not seen anything, you know, of recent, of late that, you know, shows me that conversation is elevated in any way. I think that's more driven by the county's desire to create some of these bypass mechanisms. But, you know, ultimately that's not going to be something that the city of Crawfordsville or Montgomery County is going to decide. That's going to come down to NDOT making some of those big decisions to move, you know, state highways, you know, those thoroughfares, to move those around the city. That's going to be their call. And anytime you talk about bypassing traffic around the city, you instantly bring out all kinds of emotions from people both ways. So I have no indication at all that, you know, that is elevated and it's a heightened discussion and there's some kind of press to really do something quickly. Nothing has changed on that as far as I'm concerned. Do we have a problem with truck traffic in our downtown? We absolutely do. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, in the interim, we have to find ways to address, you know, the situation as it exists. And I think that's where NDOT could come to the table, to find ways to calm that traffic down and slow it down. Let's not keep widening and creating more of an expressway through our downtown. Let's slow it down. Let's, you know, find ways to calm that down a little bit. And there's a lot of traffic. There's no doubt. You know, you have all these different state highways crossing through our downtown. At the same time, we're trying to create this welcoming downtown and people walking and pedestrian friendly and all those things. And the two collide from time to time.
So another issue brought up was the route from the sheriff's department to the north side of town. Some of the shareholders expressed concerns about the ease of travel between the two and potential safety issues that it might pose. What's in the way? What is getting in the way between the sheriff's department and the north side of town?
Well, that's, you know, you have to look back, you know, at the way this community is laid out, and you have so many barriers on that north side that have impeded growth. And, you know, I always tell developers when they come to Crawfordsville, they kind of start looking at things, and you can see the wheels turning. And, you know, most communities grow towards the interstate. And Crawfordsville has been the opposite. We've grown away from the interstate. All of our growth is, you know, pretty much to the south. And so we see something different there. And the reason that has occurred is, and the reason you don't have good, clear transportation corridors on the north side is because you have all these barriers in the way. You have a major CSX rail line that runs right through the middle of it. You have Sugar Creek and areas there that are protected running right through the middle of it. You've had stormwater drainage issues. You have a stone quarry that takes up a large space to the north. You know, all the interstate highway is there, US 231. All of these factors come together to really kind of choke things down, if you will, and for decades has kind of just slowed growth on the north side, and that includes the transportation piece. So, you know, there is not a clear-cut way to get from, for example, where the Sheriff's Department is located on Memorial Drive to 231 North. You have to come downtown Crawfordsville to get there, or you have to go out, you know, several miles into the country and cut across through the country. So, you know, that is a concern, but, you know, I also come back to the point that that was extremely well known when the Sheriff's Department was located there. So it's not a surprise and anything new. This has gone on for decades in this community.
So given that this is something that's been going on for a while, what can be done to improve or to change those setups and those developments that are in the way?
Well, the north side is tough, you know, and there's some things in discussion right now about how to open that up, but you're always going to be weighing the benefit versus the cost. And, you know, my perspective is a little different as a former responder. You know, you have to work around some of these barriers. You know, to say we're going to put in, you know, $20 million worth of bridge and road to solve this problem is probably not, you know, probably not going to work because they can't find the funding. So, you know, again, and we have an amazing sheriff's department, and sheriff is doing a great job. I'm sure they're looking at this issue and knowing that they can't put all their resources in one spot at one time. You have to scatter those around. And, you know, as a former firefighter, I knew that I'd have resources on both sides of the rail line that runs through the middle of our city. And the same thing falls for law enforcement. So I think you're going to see them kind of make sure they have their resources evenly distributed in the interim. Is there a long-term fix? Yeah, I think we're going to get some of that area to open up, but I don't think it by any means is going to be, you know, in the next year or two or anything like that.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. We're here with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. And if you have any questions, you can call in to 765-496-1999, send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Now, Mr. Mayor, the city recently got its first Starbucks, which seems to be kind of a polarizing issue. Some in the community argue it's a good way to have chains show interest and bring in development and opportunities, but other residents have voiced concern about taking customers away from local businesses. Where do you stand on the issue?
Well, you know, again, these things are driven by consumer preference. And, you know, I've kind of seen some of the social media chatter, and it is either people love it or they think it's just absolutely terrible. And, you know, I've seen some of the posts where people go on and on about how bad this is. And I guess my response is that, you know, if it's not your thing, and it's certainly not everybody's thing, don't go there. You know, if you don't believe in shopping there or patronizing their business, then that's fine. You know, it's not for you, but it's clear that there are other people who do. And ultimately, their success or failure in this community will be driven by consumer preference, just like anything else. I don't, for a second, believe that government should be dictating these consumer choices. We can help, you know, try to entice businesses to our community, and we certainly do that. We heard a large demand for something like this for a long time, and they've chosen to come here, and that's, I think, a good thing. But we can't dictate that, you know, well, these larger chains have to stay out so that the smaller locally owned businesses, we're going to force you to go there. Every community that's tried that has ended up in failure, and that's just not the recipe for success. And, you know, the smaller ones, they do great. They have a great product and great service. If you have those things, then I don't think you should be worried about a national chain.
You mentioned enticing businesses to come. Are there other amenities or chains that you would like to bring into Crawfordsville?
Well, we always hear the wish list, and you know, we've been very deliberate and making sure that we try to educate the community that, you know, this is a free market economy, and businesses make their own decisions about where they choose to locate. You know, the mayor doesn't call up a business and say, "Hey, I want you to be in Crawfordsville, and this is how it's going to work." It just is not like that. And you know, they are looking at data. They are looking at numbers. Site selection is totally a science of numbers, and you know, the numbers are driven by consumer preference. So, is there a wish list out there? Yeah, we hear things all the time. People want certain things to come to this community. We're aware of that, and as we have talks with developers, and we've had those talks even in the last couple of weeks, you know, we pass that list on and say, you know, these are things that we hear the community is interested in, but ultimately it's going to come down to our ability to, you know, grow this community in a very gradual, smart way. We're not going to see explosive population growth, but we do have to grow somewhat, and we have to increase the number of rooftops in our community to kind of get over the threshold and get to that next level of retail and dining options that people want to see in a community. We're kind of just below the threshold of where some of those bigger groups make their cut, and we need to grow just a little bit more to get there. And, you know, we need to grow because we have to grow our workforce, and that happens in two ways. First and foremost, keeping the next generation in Crawfordsville, and secondly, attracting new residents. And, you know, when they make their decision about where they locate, there are a lot of factors that they take into consideration, but retail and dining is one of them. And, you know, we have to accept that sometimes what's appealing to those younger people who are starting families is not the same thing that appeals to the person in retirement age. They can be different. And we have to accept that and understand that maybe things are going to come to this community that doesn't appeal to the retirement age person, but might very well appeal to that young person just getting started.
There was actually a quote in the paper of Montgomery County that I wanted to bring up with you. One of the new Starbucks employees in the article said, "My first reason for working at Starbucks was the opportunities for good jobs in Crawfordsville aren't always great. And my second reason is I like what Starbucks is doing for sustainability and the environment. Plus, they have good benefits." You've mentioned before that there are around 300 full-time jobs available in Crawfordsville right now. Would you agree with the statement that opportunities for good jobs with benefits are hard to come by for residents?
No, not at all. And I think what it shows is just our failure to make sure we communicate that to young people and to the public in general. That's typical of what we hear from people because they've had that ingrained in their mind for so long that there aren't opportunities in Crawfordsville, and that's just simply not the case. And, you know, we just met with our employers this morning. That meeting just happens to fall on the same day as this radio show every month. So, you know, we met with them again. We heard them loud and clear today. We need people, period. I mean, we've got to find a good quality workforce. So the opportunities that are present in this community are kind of mind-boggling to me if you really look at them. But clearly, you know, like in this case, we've not done a good job of helping people understand that. When you go in and talk to high school students the last several years, all you would hear is, "Well, there's nothing here for me. I have to go elsewhere." And that's just not the case. We have to do a better job of educating and helping them understand that and showing them the opportunities that exist. And that's what we're trying to do, and I think we're making some headway there.
When you talk about meeting the needs of the different generations and bringing young people to Crawfordsville, my follow-up question to that is, what areas are these jobs in, and how would they appeal to that age group?
You know, they're across the board in all different kinds of sectors, and one of the really interesting parts, there's a lot of openings right now in what I would consider more of a tech sector. You know, the robotics piece is very big in our community. If you look at our industries, there's a lot of use of robotics. Well, somebody has to repair those, somebody has to program those, and you see young people fascinated by robotics, but they've never made the connection that what I'm doing here could actually be applied in one of our local businesses or industries. So we see opportunities literally across the board in every segment in our community, from, you know, entry level, you know, all the way up through, you know, the higher end things and technical skills and, you know, those kinds of pieces. So, you know, the opportunities are here. Now, you're not going to find every subspecialty in our community, obviously, but the basics are all covered, and businesses and industries are looking for those young people who want to get engaged and learn and grow a career right here in this community.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. We're here with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton this week. If you have questions, you can call in to 765-496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, we recently published a story that looked at the conversation around low-income housing in Crawfordsville. And when I spoke with you for that story, you pointed to the available jobs and growing workforce in Crawfordsville as an example that there should be less low-income housing or maybe some fluctuation in what it already has. But property managers and advocates we spoke with argue that there is a need to expand local programs. Could you address that discrepancy?
Oh, I don't see any way there's a need to expand. Again, that's something that I think you have to measure based on the local economy at the time. That need ebbs and flows. I have no doubt that landlords want to expand the program because that's more properties that they have guaranteed income for and a pretty clear structure to work within. But, every indication that I get from every piece of this community is that we are saturated, and we have to step back and rethink this because we're being, we just can't keep up with this. And, when I first took office, the economy wasn't as good back then, and you could kind of understand that and follow that and see how that was working. But today, when you have literally, hundreds of jobs that aren't filled, you kind of have to step back and scratch your head and ask yourself what's happening here. And we have to come to terms with some of that. And every community has a capacity to help, people in need. And we've reached, I think, the breaking point in our capacity. And we've been there for a while. So we're going to have to come to terms with that. And again, my point with the subsidized housing, I guess several points. One, again, to this day, people are not looking at the totality of it. They're looking at only the Crawfordsville Housing Authority. You have to look at the big picture, including the project-based subsidized housing that's in our community. So when you put all that together, those numbers are very large. The other point is that, there has to be a mechanism to adjust that based on the local economy and what subsidized housing we do have, and we do need some. I'll never deny that. What we do have needs to be safe, period. And in no way in my mind were we meeting the requirements for the safety of those properties. And I say that having been in many of them as a firefighter and a paramedic over the years. People living in them were living in unsafe conditions, sometimes living in utter squalor, while these landlords were getting paid to provide a safe house or a safe apartment. And that was not happening. So that's why I've pressed with HUD and the Housing Authority to get some of this fixed.
Yeah, you mentioned, and we independently confirmed, that the Department of Housing and Urban Development sent inspectors to examine some of the apartments participating in the voucher program back in May. All four of the units examined failed the inspection. Are there plans for more inspections of the local units?
Well, that would be a decision that's ultimately made up, made by the folks at HUD themselves. And I'm having ongoing dialogue with them. I don't have an indication for them whether they will or will not continue some of those inspections. I do know that they are working with the local housing authority to really bring their inspectors up in their understanding and their application of the standards. So I'm sure that's the direction they want to go. They don't want to just keep sending, their people from Indianapolis office out here to inspect. They're going to try to bring up, the quality of the inspections here locally. So we'll kind of have to let that play out. And, again, I'm not against the housing authority. I'm not against helping people. I just feel like we have a mess here. And, this community is very upset about it. I hear it. I meet with the public, monthly. I listen to them all the time. And we've kind of had our head in the sand for a long time because this is what I call one of those thorny topics. It's not always easy to deal with a topic like this. There's a a lot of factors from a lot of different angles, but you know, I think we've reached a point in this community that that we need to come to terms with this. We're far enough along. We can have this discussion now, and we can sensibly work through this. And like anything else, the truth and the answer probably is somewhere in the middle. But I know I'm going to have to apply some pressure to get us to a solution that I think is going to make sense for everybody involved, and not one special interest one way or the other.
So there are nearly 500 low-income voucher units through the local housing authority in Crawfordsville. How were those apartments chosen for an inspection, and are they reflective of all of the units in the county, or were they inspected because they weren't up to standards?
See, again, there's the point. There's 500 through the housing authority. That's only half of what we have. You know, the other half resides in these project-based units, and some of them do a great job. I mean, we have, you know, projects here, you know, based units that do a very good job of keeping their properties up, but you still have that, you know, figuring into the equation. So again, 500 is probably about half of what we're dealing with here. So, you know, if you're thinking you double that, you know, and you're in the 800, 900, 1,000 range for a community our size, that is staggering to think about. And it is reflected, you look at any data, you know, on this community involving children and poverty, you know, all those kinds of things, our numbers are alarming, you know. And I hear it from consultants all the time, developers who look at our community, wow, your data is not good. Well, of course it's not, you know, when you factor this in. So, you know, it's a tough situation. It's a tough question, and it's a tough challenge. And I think, again, you know, we've reached the point where this community is far enough along that we need to have the conversation and come to terms with it instead of just continuing to put our heads in the sand and act like there's not an issue there or just avoid it and kick it down the road. It's time to have the conversation.
So these inspections, do they improve the overall quality of low-income housing, or do they only address individual properties?
Well, I think they'll affect they'll have a positive effect on the overall quality. You know, I mean, as the standards go up, you know, certainly the quality of that housing will go up as well. And I've had good conversations with some of these landlords, and I understand their frustration. You know, I put money into this property, I bring it up to standard, and then I have a renter come in and, you know, they leave and the place is torn up, and that's the nature of that business, and it's a tough business. I get that. But I'm not in that business, and they chose to get in that business. That's, you know, they're going to have to work their way through that. There's clearly a way to do it because other communities have done it. We've been lagging behind because we've not applied the pressure to come up to the standards.
All right. Well, that's our time for today. Mayor Barton, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find this program on our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Frankfort. Send us your questions at ask@WBAA.org or tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.